Blog Talk Radio. Good evening to all you fabulous listeners out there. My name is Meredith, also known as Foxy Mama. Here in this forum, we encourage you all to listen, call in, and share your amazing stories with us. Please feel free to ask questions pertaining to your weight loss journey, nutrition, wellness, fitness, and healthy lifestyles. And now, with no further ado, I am proud to introduce the host of our show, Big Dreams Talk Radio, Steve, the Health Minister Nicander.
Good evening to Big Dreams Radio. It's a 9:21 Wednesday, 8 o'clock. So we welcome all these people that are calling in, and please continue to do so. The call-in number is 347-989-1473. That's 347-989-1473. 1473. So if you want to call in with your questions, we'll be talking about fitness today. Our guests will be Eric and Lori Rubin from Anytime Fitness in Worcester and Auburn, Mass, right here in Worcester and Auburn. And so we're very excited to be talking to them in a little while. I'm your host, Steve Sir Dropalot Nicander, and I've been on a weight loss and health recovery journey for just about 2 years now. And in that time, I've managed to lose nearly 400 pounds so far with nutrition from whole, dense, nutrient foods, lots of water, and a moderate to vigorous fitness plan. Since then, I've become a health activist, safe foods advocate, a speaker slash writer, and I've been involved now with producing this new and upcoming docu-based self-improvement reality show called Big Dreams, hence the name of our radio show. It's one of my big dreams. My big dreams include reaching out to still those who are desperate in need of motivation and inspiration in making that mind, body, food, and fitness connection in order to get themselves turned around in the right direction towards health and fitness. I want to help these individuals, you know, with their chronic disease problems, identify their poor lifestyle and nutrition choices, encouraging them to correct these while also trying to educate them on how to find true and sound nutrition, which will help them eliminate their illness and disease. Of course, weight and related issues being one of our main focuses, I like to speak and motivate and inspire people to take back control in their lives and redirect them to maximize and optimize their health and well-being. I encourage them to believe in themselves because ultimately it all begins and ends with the brain. You know, that's our control center. And although in order to have complete balance or homeostasis, we really need to create an equilibrium or a balance in all three main phases, mind, body, and spirit. So let's take this journey together and explore many areas of healthful living so that we all can live out better lives and become the best that we can be. So I wanted to start out tonight's show by talking about some of the aspects that we want to involve with this show itself not only in the coming weeks, but in once it actually gets to air and becomes part of the network. One of those main focuses is, no matter where we go in this country and we travel, which we will probably be estimating we'll be doing a lot of that. Like I said, we'll be traveling and trying to motivate some of these people. But one of the main things we wish to do is get community involvement. We get the community involved. And this really has a kind of a repercussive effect. It's almost like a ripple effect. I mean, we can see it alone. Krista and I were talking about it the other day, how we are affecting and inspiring and motivating people, friends, family, neighbors just around us. These people get inspired. They start to do the same things. Those people start to infect and inspire other people. And so it has this growing effect, which we hope we're going to be able to do no matter where we take the show, in each community we get involved. Hence, it kind of like bleeds into what we're going to be talking with tonight, and that's one of the reasons that when we finally sat down and decided to start getting people involved with the community, it just made sense for us to try to approach a local gym. And again, we wanted one that would offer the most opportunities to people, and that's why we decided that we would definitely go after a gym that was open 24 hours. It just made sense with all the ways people are so busy in their daily lives and everything like that. Everybody tries to make these excuses, but you know, when you got a 24-hour gym, and of course not everyone can afford a gym, that's true. But for those that can, a gym like this will provide them opportunities no matter what shifts they work. You know, we were just talking about, you know, we were at a weight loss meeting last week, and, the woman says she's a teacher, but she finds time to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and go and do it. So a facility like that really enables people to have their exercise and get it in whenever their busy schedules allow them to. So that's, you know, the community involvement is a very important thing. It will not only involve, of course, just gyms and stuff like that, but we want to also get involved with community agriculture movements, the health organizations that are reaching out to people that can maybe provide people with certain things. That's all involved in the inclusive process. It takes an entire village to get people well, you know, and we don't want to isolate. We want to educate and try to turn people on to a new kind of a movement, you know. And movements start small, but, this nutrition and fitness movement has been growing. You can see how healthful foods are becoming very prevalent in all stores across the globe. So, you know, I can see it right here in this area that you can go to many different shows now and stores now and see that you've got healthful foods and health related items almost readily available no matter where you go. So, it's a great thing. That's one of the reasons that we hope the show will have a huge success, because we like to get those kinds of that community involvement, and so it will end up becoming a huge effort, and it takes a lot more people than one or even a small group to make a difference, and hopefully we get people to recognize that, and it will be a huge thing. So I don't even know if I'm on right now because I'm checking out. And I got a problem here. But for those that can hear me, I will see. Oh, my God, this thing is like, what a problem with the computer right now. Got a minor malfunction online. We had a switchboard crash here. I'm trying to get it back up. That's what we needed, is a little technical difficulty. Let's see if we can get it coming back up here now. No, I cannot get it. Wow. Wow. Well, maybe. Maybe it's coming. No? Hold on. Okay. I'm going to have to shut it down for a minute and restart it. I'm trying to reload it right now. Yes, there's a problem, right? That's good. I don't know if it was good, so what happened? Loading slowly. One of the reasons that I really can't wait to get a new computer. Oh, man. Not getting it to load. I apologize for this unforeseen snafu. Trying to reload the browser. And it's just going to pick it up. It had connections just fine, and now it's going. It is not coming up. Wow. Which is not good, because it kind of fully controls the radio show on the computer. So. Hey, what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to hang up and recall in and see what happens. So give us about 5 minutes and we're going to try to see what's going on and we'll be back. Thank you. All right, I'm back in. Wow. Well, hopefully we're connected again. we totally had to reset our router and had a little internet connectivity issue. But it seems like we're back on. Let's see. Co-host, can you hear me now? Can you hear me? Just type in if you can. All right. I think we're back on. So, Mary, see who that number is and check that out, and we'll continue. So, let me get back to what I was saying with the community involvement. So, like as I was saying prior, before I was saying we want to get many different facets of the. Of the community involved, and that's kind of why when we started talking about getting a gym involved, we wanted to find one that was not only national, but also one that would give us the most access, or people the most access. That's why we kind of approached Anytime. We're hoping this was become a fruitful engagement, and we'll carry on when the show starts. It will allow us a good place not only to maybe film some workouts across the country, but also get other people involved. So that's kind of why we reached out to him, and that's also why we approached Eric and Lori from Anytime right here. So that's kind of the story. So if there's anybody that wants to call in, and please feel free to do so. And Mary, I think you have to also go into that room to, as well if you want to talk to them. So you're going to have to put yourself into that screening room as well. All right, so as we wait for our guests, let's carry on. So we're talking about fitness today and how important fitness is in a healthy lifestyle. I think it's imperative. It's one of the one things that I had to absolutely rely on, even when I was in a position of not being able to move a lot. I knew it was imperative as soon as I started doing enough research and enough rehabilitation. I figured that it was going to have to be a strong part of my equation in getting well. Yes, in nutrition is a huge part of that. Putting the right kind of foods and everything in there is imperative. But also, more importantly, is the fitness, engaging in physical activity. You know, and I did it moderately in the beginning and then progressively got better. You know, it took me a while until I was actually able to actually even get into a gym. I know some of the bigger people out there have this preconceptions, and it's not even unfounded. I had them too. You know, you don't feel like going in a gym because you feel like people are going to stare at you and stuff like that. It took me a while to get there. You know, I started with a YMCA down where I used to live in Charlotte. And again, but it was one of these motivating things because I knew they had a pool. And so the one thing for me was in the beginning is that I've got to get myself strong enough. I got to get myself physically able enough, build my muscles back up to the point that I could literally walk into that place and get into the pool. Because I knew once I got into a pool, that would alleviate a lot of that weight off of my body. The water displaces it, and I would be able to start moving around. I was lucky in the facility that they had down there. They actually had like a vortex pool. In other words, it was like a pool that it was almost like a rehabilitation pool. So the water spun around in one direction, and then you could literally walk against the current in the opposite direction and really start to build up strength in the muscles and everything. That is how I started my physical rehabilitation process in a gym kind of atmosphere at the Y. From then, it didn't take too long, and probably just a couple weeks within that time where I was able to venture upstairs to the gym itself and actually start engaging in some physical activity and stuff. So I see that we now have our special guests on today, Eric, Ruben, and Lori from Anytime Fitness. Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hey, Steve, it's just me. Lori's not on, it's just me. How you doing, bud?
Good, Eric. How you doing, man?
Fantastic. Trying to watch my Red Sox win a game, actually.
Oh, yeah, I hope they do. I mean, they've
been... Me as well, me as well.
Looking a little weak, but let's start talking about Anytime. I think one of the first questions that anyone we had, how did you come about to actually get involved with Anytime, and what made you to make the decision that you wanted to start investing in an Anytime franchise and in fitness?
Well, I worked for corporate America for about 14 years. Which is good. I mean, I got a degree in business, and it was where I thought I wanted to go. You know, there's a lot of kids when they're younger, they go to college and get an education in something they really never use. I wouldn't say I don't use my business degree, but it really wasn't what I love to do. And I, you know, I came home one time, and I just from work, and I told my wife, I said, you know, I just don't want to do this anymore. I want to do something I love. And I've always been interested in sports and athletics, and I've always done that kind of stuff. And you know, I researched around with the different gyms that are out there, whether I want to do my own and not do a franchise, you know, whether I want to do a franchise. There's so many different ones out there. And then
right.
I basically, you know, I researched the different companies and find out, you know, found out what they offer, which one offers the best type of thing, the best atmosphere. And Anytime Fitness just, to me, was head and shoulders above any other franchise. They try to
right.
make an environment where it's not the muscle heads, because I heard you talking earlier where it's a lot of people, they walk into the gym and they're intimidated. You know,
yeah.
I've been in a gym environment all my life. I go in to work out. I never thought about that stuff. But I've become more aware of it now that people join my gym. They tell me, you know, the biggest thing for them is going into a gym and feel like there's eyes all over them, you know, and people
right.
are watching them. That's a hard thing for people to get over. So I'm lucky. I don't really work. I go in and do something I love every day. You know, that's the difference now, so it's great.
It is great. So just talk about, you know, even for maybe some of the local people that might be listening, about your new opening. In fact, that's the actual facility that we've been working at over on Shrewsbury Street in Worcester. It's a top-notch facility, I have to say. You guys have really done a bang-up job there. You got almost any kind of machine that you would want to do. Great free weight works, and the more exciting thing is your virtual training thing. So why don't you tell them a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, this facility, this is my second facility, and you know, I know a little bit more the second time, so we try to do a couple things better and different the second time around. And one of the things that you mentioned is it's called the Fitness on Request Room or Virtual Training Room, which is fantastic for those people that. One, you know, when you go to other gyms and let's say you want to do a spin class, for instance, well, if you're not there at 1 o'clock, you can't make that class. You don't get to go. With this virtual training room, it has a kiosk or a computer outside, and you have about 60 different programs to choose from. So if you want to do spinning one day, you press the computer. It comes up spinning. You walk into the aerobics room. A screen pops down with a trainer that introduces themselves, tells you how long the workout's going to be, and they start the workout for you. You know, the next day you want to come in, you want to do a different type of workout, you can do that. So it's been fantastic. Me personally, I've done a couple of them, and I've walked out of there, you know, pretty drenched. So it's pretty encompassing for those people that like those classes and like different forms of class. You know, it's got, you know, the hip-hop, the Zumba, the spinning, the yoga, core classes.
Yeah,
so it's
got everything. It's got muscle. You can do, like, weight training classes.
Yep.
And I know
absolutely.
Even Mary, our co-host Mary, did a spinning class the other day, and she hammered it, Eric. She was in there for 35 minutes. I can't even believe she lasted that long. She was amazing. Because
so
you
your
know
mind,
we're talking
you
about how the seats can really get to you.
They do. It's amazing.
It's
you wouldn't
facility.
Think that.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. And I'm sorry, I said you wouldn't think that, you know, that virtual trainer would kick your butt like it does, but, you know, it really hammers you, and it's fantastic, you know. You do some of the
and it is
there,
you know, because it's for those people that maybe don't want to have that one-on-one engagement. I mean, I like this now that I've been kind of like working with a trainer and whatever. I like that because, you know, but you get the same kind of feel as that. But for people that don't want that like one-on-one, you still have the trainer, but it's, you know, it's on the screen, and you can go in there with a friend and work out, and it's a good way to take your buddy in there and kind of. Work out together in a little bit of a privacy situation, you know. So
yeah, and
like
it's also
that.
You know, we talked about those people that are intimidated. You know, maybe there are some people that won't take an aerobics class or a spin class because they don't want to be with other people and be embarrassed. You can go in by yourself.
Right.
No one sees you. You get your workout, and it's fantastic. You know, it's pretty new idea in the industry, and the first time I ever saw it, I fell in love with it. You know, and that's why I put it in my club, and it's just one of the features that we offer that, you know, I think has that wow factor for people that that they really like in a health club. So it's worked out really well.
Yeah, and I also really like the online involvement that Anytime Health has which is involved with your franchise as well. But people actually literally go on once they're members, and you have this whole online community that's engaged. You have wonderful things like videos and that your total fitness, nutrition parts. You know, you can literally take track of, you've got a workout planner, you can do an activity tracker, you've got your nutritional tracker. You can literally engage in as far as you want to take it. You can track all your food. You can track your weight progress, which I've been just starting to do, which is great. And getting down there, I think I lost a couple more pounds. So it's working. It's great, you know. And you know, you get everybody a different opportunity with the diversity of the machines that you provide there as well. We were asking the other day, and I know all of us, we keep calling it the beast. You know which one I'm talking about, that one up there in the front of your facility there. But what actually is that thing that's like the half elliptical, half stair climber? Does it actually have a name?
Yeah, it's called the Summit Trainer. The funny part about gyms, and you'll notice this wherever you go, some of the harder things and the more beneficial things to you, you won't see a lot of people doing them. So I don't see a lot of people on those Summit Trainers because it's hot. You'll see a lot of high-performance athletes on those. It doesn't mean that other people can't use them. It just means it's hard. And those type of people usually will challenge themselves more than other people. It depends on the stance you take on the machine, because you can posture yourself different ways. But it's fantastic especially for your low body. It's good for cardio, but it's also good for the strengthening of the glutes, the hamstrings, and the quads and the calves. I mean, it really, really. I mean, you've been on it, so you know the pain that you go through. So
you know, and I was so intimidated. I mean, Mary's on right now, but
she told me
the other day.
Hey, Mary.
I've been able to do like 5 to 7 minutes on that, and it really kicks my butt. And she's been trying to talk me into it for like, 2 weeks now or something like that?
At least 2 weeks. I've been saying, Steve, you need to get off that bike and you need to get on that beast and show it who's boss.
Tell them what you did, Steve.
I literally caught on there. And, you know, like, with me and Kristen's neighbor, Tim, and he was like, are you ready to do this? And I was like, yeah. And I said, you know what? Listen, I probably won't even last like 2 minutes on the thing, because I watched a little skinny girl go on there, and she got off that thing and she looked like she was going to die. So I was like, all right, well, I'll do maybe 2 minutes and I'll hang. And then I said, as soon as we get winded, we're off. So we literally got on there and started going, and it was like 2 and then 3 minutes, and that was 5 minutes. And we were still, and then by that 5 minutes, I mean, my heart rate was raised. I mean, I was sweating. It was into it. But I was really impressed with how fluid the movement is and how low impact on my knees. You know, and Eric, that was the reason I didn't even want to engage on that, is I was so worried about that impact on my knee, but it is so minimal. It is so fluid that literally we got to 8 minutes and we stopped for a second and we took maybe, I don't know, 15-second, 20-second breather, took one sip of water, and he was like, let's keep going. And we ended up doing like a little over 10 minutes. And for my first time, I was like, I was flabbergasted. I was like, wow.
You were gassed. It's a great workout. Right. It's a great thing. And the thing about, you know, and everybody should be cognizant of when they train, it's you don't want to be stagnant on a machine. The body is very, very intelligent, and it responds better to change as far as burning more calories in the body. So it's good to do different machines. And when you get on a machine, when you go to the bike to that, it's kind of night and day. Now, if the bike is bad, because the bike is very good for you, especially if you do have bad knees or something like that, or bad ankles, bad joints. But when you get on something like that, your body's going, hey, what the heck's going on? I have to work harder now, so I'm going to burn some more calories. And you know, losing weight in general, unless you're talking about bodybuilding, is more or less, it's an easy formula, just as Americans, I think you and I have talked about this, we're not very good at it. It's how many calories you take in for food and how many calories you exude. It's an easy formula, just as Americans, we're having, you know, quite a tough time with it, you know, and, you know, I applaud you especially for your effort, because in this day and age where this world is set up for supersize, drive through, all that kind of stuff, you know, you realize it and, you know, you're doing a great job, you know, so keep up the great work. It's awesome to see.
And we both agree on the same thing, you know, and that's what Dr. Amen talks about too, you know. When you talk about calories, you know, there are a lot of different kinds and qualities of calories. And then, like, when you're talking about the supersizing and stuff, or that facility that's located right next to your gym, Little Caesars, those are giving you calories, but those are not the quality calories that you're looking to take in. So, you know, if you're eating a whole pizza at Little Caesars and still working out, you're doing maybe some good. But if you're taking those same amount of calories that you would ingest and eating that pizza, and you were eating broccoli and salads and chicken and fish and all that, and then doing that same workout, you're going to have a way, way better time, I think.
Well, yeah,
and let me just interject with that. The placement of the gym next to the Little Caesars is perfect, because when I'm
it's
on that piece doing my workout, watching people eat pizza as they're coming out, I feel that much better about myself, so... I don't know if that was planned or not, but it was.
It wasn't exactly planned, but for someone of me, I have talked at length. I think Steve has to shut me up on when I talk about nutrition. You know, the part that bothers me about this country is we target people to spend less money to give them more empty calories or more high calorie foods. You can get a pizza at Little Caesars that would feed your family of four for $5. You know, and especially for minorities, that's a fantastic deal. The only problem is they're gaining weight. The obesity epidemic is part of it, and this is some of the things that really bother me. And you know, no one seems to be doing anything about it. And it's you know, again, like when I see someone like you doing what you're doing, awesome.
The fail kind of thing. It really is, you know. And you know, that's the sad point is that you know, in an economy like this. Not only do they sometimes not have money to go to a gym, but they don't, you know, they don't even have money to spend on decent food, and it kind of sucks, you know. But that's one of the good things, though. I've been actually finding out that, and I had to, you know, do the research on my own. But there's so many farmers markets, and there's so many opportunities around, even here in Worcester and Auburn as well, places where we can also find affordable produce as well as you know, good nutrient foods. That and in fact, these people that we're just talking to they'll be on in a couple of weeks. These guys started a new nonprofit called Woo Foods, and they are now engaging with all the restaurants as well, trying to get the restaurants to provide more healthful options on their menus. Try to take the difficulty out of choosing something by just putting it right out there and available. So even if you go to a restaurant and you got four people that don't like, they all like diversified different things. So if you got the guy that likes to eat the cheeseburger, that's fine. But if you go into these certain restaurants, that other person's going to be able to get a vegan meal. The other person's going to be able to get that salad if he wants it. And you can see that mostly across the board now that, you know, restaurants are trying to provide more helpful things, and those opportunities are out there. And you know, I mean, you as well as I know, that nutrition really does play an important part in getting a healthy lifestyle, you know.
You know, it's really, to me, you know, I've studied this in length. I think it's about 85% of how you look and how you feel. You know, one of the biggest problems, and I think you and I have talked about this, is the cheeseburger isn't such a bad deal. All right, it's not good. I'm not saying cheeseburgers are great. It's not what I mean. But the problem in this country is the portion control is so out of whack. The average meal in a restaurant in the United States has 1,200 calories. To give you an idea, what, you know, someone like myself tries to keep my calories around 1,700, 1,800 a day. Now, if I went up, to dinner with my wife, it's 2/3 of my intake. You know, that's, and what happens is people sit down and they don't think about this. They just eat it, you know. And it's unfortunate. You know, everything has changed since I was a kid. Everything is supersized and big. I mean, at least when you went through a McDonald's or a Dunkin' Donuts or something like that when you were a kid, you didn't sit in the drive-thru. You had to get out of your car at least to walk and get the food, you know. Now it's 10 times worse. Now you sit in the drive-thru.
Not 46.
Exactly, you know, and it's... It's hard for me to, you know, I've always been in nutrition, so I know this is hard for people. And someone like you, you know, watching, I know it's hard, and I see what you're going through, and it's fantastic. You know, but I have a lot of people that will, you know, say, hey, I don't want to come to the gym anymore. You know, I can't afford it. But those are the same people I see, because my other gym is in front of a Dunkin' Donuts, which is the drive-thru line is just constant. So they have enough money to go buy the bagels and the supersized coffees with, you know, 1,000 calories in it, but they can't afford, let's say, a dollar a day to go to the gym. And that's sad. You know, is sad.
Eric, is it true that, you know, it's easier to make an excuse than to actually do something about it?
It's true. You know, and I wish there was something more I could do personally. I mean, I do the best I can, but... People have to take ownership, you know. They have to look in the mirror like Steve did and say, this is not the way I want to live. You know, you can, the old adage, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink it, is very, very true. Now, I'm not saying it's easy. It's not. I see Steve working. He's dying. But the downside is all the chronic illnesses that, you know, overweight and obesity brings, you know. I mean, do you want diabetes? Do you want strokes?
Because most of that stuff is lifestyle-related disease. And I don't know if people know that and people are listening, but... cancer and heart disease and diabetes and
strokes,
all this
absolutely
really come, yeah, they all come from lifestyle related things. That means the way you eat, the way you're living your lifestyle, that's how these diseases are being perpetuated. And I can tell you just from my own experience, if you just change those simple things and kind of reverse them around and put all the things in the right proportions, including, as we're talking about, the fitness regimen, It's just drastic changes in your life that can occur, and it's an amazing thing. You know, get getting your heart rate up, getting that physical exertion up, really does make a whole change. You know, I had COPD when I started this, 25-year smoker. I mean, I was bad. I was so bad to the point that I was wheezing audibly. And, you know, that's why they had me on 24 hours of oxygen. And within 6 months, I literally, not only did I not need oxygen, but I could literally feel my lungs fill up with air. And now the way I breathe and how I meditate, and I can, like, take in air, like, hugely fill my lungs full of air. And that all comes from cardiovascular exercise. That's absolutely attributed to that.
You know? It's fantastic. And this is not a secret. Health and fitness is not a secret. You and I are not the only ones that know about this health and fitness thing. It's just that people will make excuses, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but I've made excuses not to work out when I didn't feel like it. It's easy to make an excuse not to work out, but it has to be it has to be a lifestyle. You know, like when someone says, I'm going to go on a diet, I say, don't go on a diet. Because what happens after you're done with the diet? You go back to what you did before. So make the lifestyle change, like you're doing. You have to make a lifestyle change, because otherwise you're just going to fail. You're setting yourself up for failure.
Yeah. Okay, Mary, you say we got Ingrid on the line. She wants to ask a question, so let her on, and we'll see what she's got.
You got it.
Hey, Ingrid, how you doing? Good evening. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm doing fine. You got a question?
Yes, I do. I guess my question is that my medication is a pound packer. I've been on Depakote for bipolar for I don't know how many years now. Right. And it is a big-time pound packer. It packed on I don't know how much weight on
right.
me. And it's caused, like, I'm 35 years old. I have knees of a 75-year-old. And other conditions on top of that due to my weight. My problem is now that I'm going to the gym. I've changed, like, my whole diet. My whole lifestyle has changed. Everything's changed.
Right.
And it's like, my disappointment is I don't see the weight coming off, but it's, my clothes are starting to fit better. So it's like, oh, they're losing an inch, right. but it's not showing on the scale.
Yeah,
it's
does
like,
that medication help you retain water as well, too? Is that a water retainer?
I don't think so. I'm not quite positive. All I've known is that they are pound packers.
Yeah.
And that's the hardest
thing.
Well,
I'm telling you, and it's hard because if you got to be on medication, and I started at like 8 or so medications, and it does. I mean, certain things and certain chemicals just, you know, they have those effects on our brain. But, I mean, it's good that you're doing the physical activity. And, you know, I keep telling people, because a lot of people, you know, they're astounded by the rapid rate and the successive rate that I've been losing it. But I keep saying everybody's different, right, Eric? I mean, everybody's metabolism
Absolutely.
Is different.
Right.
And every kind of exercise does not work on the same person the same way. You know, and I think as Eric was discussing before, sometimes you need to kind of switch it up, diversify, and try to find those things. You know, because if you're sticking with a certain plan, which, I mean, my go-to has been the bike, but now I've been kind of like trying almost everything different just to see, because I'm also trying to build muscle. And that is the other thing that we should discuss is that building muscle is going to lend itself to burning more fat. It's one of the things I learned in the last year or so. So, you know, more work that you maybe even some free weights, and it doesn't have to be heavy. You know, you could start with just some, I mean, I don't know, what kind of workouts are you doing, Ingrid, at your gym?
Well, I do weight training 4 to 5 days a week, and then I'm big into swimming right now. I
really?
Swim for like 50 minutes, like 5 days a week in the pool. I mean, I'm just big into laps right now. I'm so... It's like,
that's
Ingrid, are you working with a trainer at all?
Not right now, no.
It wouldn't be a bad idea because the trainers usually have that experience to help you with the nutrition and help you with the right exercises that are going to get you to the goal you're trying to reach. Now, the problem, how long have you been on the medication that you've been taking?
Years.
Okay. The problem here with the medication, especially in this country, is the the doctors give it out too easy. Okay, and the reason for this is the pharmaceutical companies, which is a multi-billion dollar industry, what they do is they want the doctors, they spiff the doctors. In other words, they give the doctors golf trips and lunches and cruises and all this stuff. The more drugs they give out to the patient, the better the pharmaceutical companies do. So they want you to take those drugs when you don't need them. Proper exercise and proper diet. I would start with your diet is probably the biggest thing. It sounds like you're doing the right things in the gym. I don't know, but from what you say, it sounds like you are. But the proper diet and proper nutrition is key. It's 85% of how you look. And what happens is a lot of these people, and I think it happened to Steve, was he was on medication. If you work out right and you do the right things with food and nutrition, you will be off that medication. I've trained so many people in my life, especially with diabetes, which is so prevalent right now in this world, where I think one out of every three right now is going to have diabetes one time in their life, which is awful. You can get off that medication. You just have to put the work in. And I think if you work with a trainer and someone helps you with nutrition, I think you'd see better results.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, because they set you up like every 3 months. They go through like a whole polar fitness evaluation, and I went through that just not too long ago. And, you know, it was like I could have done better. I know I could have done better. It's like I was just not there that day. And it's like I stepped on the scale and was like disappointing with my weight. And it's like, okay, this is just, you know, it's just a crappy day. You know, just write it off and move on.
Now, how many calories have you taken in a day, did they say?
I think it's 2,000 some odd calories a day, 2,228.
To me, it sounds too much. Okay, I'll be honest with you. I don't know your situation totally. I haven't sat down with you. The calorie intake is a huge part of this. Okay. So again, you might want to talk to your nutritionist and say, hey, how many carbohydrates am I taking in? What am I taking in for sugars? How much protein am I taking in? Because I do want to keep muscle while I'm losing weight. I want to keep my calories low and my protein up just a little bit. You know, we're not talking about a bodybuilder, but you certainly want to maintain some muscle, don't you? I mean, you want to be healthy. Okay. So I would, you really have to question people and say, okay, you know, be inquisitive. Find out how many calories you're taking a day, because that's huge. That's important. And what you can do is there's tons of sites out there. I mean, with my gym, we actually give it to my members free. It's a calorie counter. It basically makes yourself accountable. So if you, let's say, and there's tons of sites out there. You can Google something. There's one called CalorieKing.com. It's fantastic out there, where you put in your profile and you say, okay, I want to lose 20 pounds within 3 months, for instance. It'll tell you exactly how many calories you should have per day. Now, what you can do is through the day, if you eat something, you program it in. Okay, let's just say it for easy math. You have 2,000 calories a day, and you have a yogurt. Okay, and let's say it's 100 calories to make it easy math. Now the computer will tell you, okay, Avery, you have 1,900 calories left per day. So it makes you accountable. And now it's more analytical, because I have trained so many people. They come in, they say, well, I mean salads, I mean this. It's usually double or triple the amount of calories they thought it was. Now you have it right in front of you on the computer. There's no way to screw it up. I would certainly, you know, look into something like that as well.
Okay, because I'm using my fitness pal right now to count my calories and keep my exercise and everything, you know, with that. And
are you measuring out your food?
Oh, yes, big time.
Okay. That's a big thing, too, because the portion size, you can guesstimate all you want, but, you know, let's try to get exact.
Right.
You know, for instance, I
had a question about water. How much water should I be taking in a day?
Probably a couple quarts.
Okay.
A couple quarts. Your body is made up of mostly water. You want to be feeding the body constantly with water.
Yeah,
okay.
It is the number one. You know, everybody talks about nutrients and everything, but I think water is that hidden nutrient that everybody keeps forgetting that it's so imperative that we drink enough water. I mean, I drink way more than that. I just want to tell you a bit. It's because I exert that much out. You know, I mean, I literally probably drink a liter of water while I'm just on the bike alone. And as I'm exuding it and as I'm sweating it out, I'm putting it back in. It's that liquid nutrient, and it's the thing that fires all our nerves. It's the thing that fires our synapses in our brain. It's the thing that just keeps our whole bodily process going along. And if you look on the average and ask, and if people are honest, because sometimes we know that people aren't always honest with as much water as they drink, I'll tell you, you know, and I've gotten so water conscious now, Eric and Ingrid, too, you know, it's kind of crazy because I don't trust, like, city water and stuff. So I don't even feel bad about walking in with my own bottle of water. I did it in a restaurant the other day. I walked in. Oh, it was Wawa. Eric, you know that place at Wawa on Shrewsbury out there? It's like they got the free range bison burger, and I go out there like maybe like once a month. But I did that. I did my almost 30 miles the other day, and that was my treat. So I went out there, had my burger, but I literally walked in with my reverse osmosis Aquafina water, and I was like, you know, I got my own water. I'm cool. You know. I don't feel bad about that because, you know,
you
water is my
feel
friend.
Bad about that.
No, because, you know, I've figured out really, really quickly that the more water I drank, the more weight I was losing. And not only that, when, you know, I talk to people like Dr. Oz and, of course, Dr. Amen, it's also the way we get rid of our toxins, and it's also the way that we release the fat out of our body. So when we drink in that water, we're literally liquefying the fat with our exercise, and then we're, like, getting rid of it. So, you know, that's it's that whole natural flushing process. It flushes our kidneys. It flushes our organs. It flushes everything out, and it nourishes us at the same time. So, you know, you can't
you're peeing out
water.
The impurities in your body.
It's
really what's coming down to. So, yeah, Steve, everything you're saying is just right on.
So let's talk a little bit more about why people should engage in a gym and all the different, maybe some of the different programs that you offer as well, and incentives to come and join. I know you guys have the specials like 7-day pass, 14 pass, and how they can do that.
Yeah, I mean, we have, there's different programs, and there's too many different programs for me to go over on the and pricing
on the radio.
You know, we try to have different programs to fit everybody's different needs. You know, everybody has different needs. Some people want to, you know, they want to join a gym for long term. Some people just want to be there for short term. You know, there's different programs. But we have, you know, we have the free weights. We have canning if people like that. I'm not much of a canner myself, but we have that. The security system of Anytime Fitness is state of the art. Because we're not staffed 24 hours a day, we're open 24 hours a day. We have a company that watches the place 24 hours a day with cameras all over the place. We try to make everything ease of use when you come into the gym. So the key that you get to get into the gym also works on the vending machine. So if you wanted to get a protein shake or a water or a bar, you can also use your key and it will charge your account. The tanning bed runs the same way. There's a keypad on the tanning bed so you can use your key fob to start the tanning bed. So it works really, really well. The fitness on request room that we talked about, we don't charge for it. That comes, you know, as part of the membership. Some places do charge for it that I've seen that have it, but you know, I just didn't want to. You know, I want people to have full access to that because I think it's too advantageous for people not to take advantage of it. We have trainers on site that are great. That's up to
really
the individual
great.
They want. Yeah, they really are. You know, both the clubs I have, they're fantastic. I've had this one girl named Joanna Kamandoulis who's been with me a couple of years, who's just a fantastic trainer. You know, she's got a great personality. She knows about nutrition. She knows how to train people. You know, that's one of the things
She's been coming over to Worcester now a couple of times, too. She's training some people.
She has, yeah. You might see her a lot more. You might see her a lot more.
Cool.
But, you know, the thing I try to preach about with all the trainers, I basically trained them all myself, is, and I think you touched on it before, Steve, that's hugely important, is interval training.
Right.
The body needs to get the heart rate up, bring it down, bring it up, bring it down, because what happens is you burn more calories. It's called the EPOC effect, or excess post-exercise oxygen consumption.
Right.
And what all that
training,
crazy
it's
stuff.
It's got a lot of different names, you know, but it's all the same thing. It's you want to peak and spike that heart rate up, and then let it come like rest back to normal a little bit and everything. So stuff like you talk about, stuff you do, like CrossFit training,
sure.
That kind of full body work where you're using basically some of your own body weight in activity, but it immediately, even that beast machine, it immediately kind of like spikes it up, and that's why you don't have to be on that thing too long. It gets
sure.
way up, and then you bring it back down. And those kind of increments, not only does it help you burn, it's actually, you're rewiring your metabolism. and your metabolism gets rewired to boost it even more. And that way, when you sleep at night, you're burning more fat, and it's crazy, but it's great. And your muscles are recovering and building up, but at the same time, that's why sleep is so imperative for us. You're getting the metabolism getting boosted, and your fat's getting burned more and more. And I've seen that. And you know, it's weird because now as I get lower and lower and closer to my goals, we all get those little plateaus. And I think that's the thing that Ingrid was talking about. You know, we hit those little plateaus across the board, and we're like, man, I'm not losing as much as I can. And I even have that. You know, I'll go a couple of weeks, and you're like, wow, I'm not moving. And then all of a sudden, and like within 2-3 days, boom, you've lost like 5 pounds like that. And it's weird, but it seems like always when I do that kind of training, and it was like I did the training last week, and when you're doing that different spike training and you really, it's kind of like boosting that metabolism up, you seem to have more success with that thing, you know?
Well, I agree. You know, and like I said, that EPOC effect, and you're talking about it right now, is that interval training. What happens is if you run a long distance at a moderate pace, you'll burn some calories, and it's not a bad thing for you. But now let's say you get on the treadmill or you go outside and you do sprints. You slow down, do sprints, slow down. Well, what happens with that EPOC effect or that calorie burn is when you just run that long distance, you burn the calories, you get off, and you're done at a moderate pace. You don't really jack up your heart rate. You don't spike it up and down. And when you spike it up and down, that interval training happens. It's very similar to, let's say, a car, for instance. When you drive in your car, 5 minutes later, you go to touch the hood of the car, it's still hot. It's still warm. And the reason I make that analogy is because when you leave the gym after you've done an interval training, that EPOC effect that I was talking about, your body continues to burn calories as you leave. So it's important to do that. You know, I think running long distances
doesn't actually burn it up to like 48 hours afterwards, I read somewhere. Like that.
Correct. Yeah, correct. It depends on what you did, but yes, it can be anywhere from 24 to 48 hours, depending on the workout that you did. So, yeah.
So say if you did something like the Warrior Dash, like your wife did and Mary did. You're on, Mary, so you can comment on that.
I am.
For our listeners, actually, next week's webisode, because we'll probably wind it down here within the next 10 minutes, but next week's webisode will be on the Warrior Dash. Two of our big dreamers, Mary, a.k.a. Foxy Mama here, my co-host, and George Grossman, both did the Warrior Dash, along with Eric's wife, Laura, also participated on Saturday a couple months ago. It was a great, great, of course, there was a lot of rain. It was muddy. It was crazy. But
it was
that
fabulous.
Will be our webisode. Yeah, it was really cool. And so
I actually
that will be
have
our
George
webisode
on the
next
line.
Yes, I know, and that's the reason I was just mentioning that, so we kind of segue into that. So let's bring George on here, and let's see what his comment is.
You got it.
Hey, kids, what's happening?
Hey, how you doing there, bro?
I'm doing all right. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, the Warrior Dash was quite a trip. That was quite a lot of fun. And there are other, you know, all those types of races, I think the bottom line is it's a way to have some fun, but it really is also a way to really highlight the, you know, some of the fitness goals, and to make something like that a goal, I think has been very important in my weight loss.
Absolutely. When we talk about CrossFit training or whatever, something like that, totally. I mean, you talk about a full body workout. I watched you, and that was just awesome.
You know, and it does, you know, there's also a sort of a mental aspect, too. I mean, one of my big fears has been on heights and to climb over a 20 to 25-foot wall. You know, that to me was, you know, that was a real slow, methodical thing, but it was something that I was very proud of myself that I actually got to do that. And jumping over fire wasn't bad either. I mean, and it was fun to experience with you and Mary out there, too. It was great.
Let's talk about more about that the next week. So, what was your comment about the gym now? So
Eric, my name is George. I haven't met you. I'm doing great. How you doing? I gotta say I have met Lewis, and I've been down. I did a 2-week trial at your place, and I hope as the weather starts changing and the gets a little darker quicker, I hope to get back and actually get a membership down there. I've actually been training for a half marathon. I'm running in about a week.
Go George.
I'm sorry?
I said go George.
Good for you. That's awesome. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's it's been, you know, it's just kind of, again, you know, it's one of these things that I've set goals along the way, and it's been very helpful for me to do that. And so I'm real excited about it. But so I've been doing a lot of outdoor running, so I really haven't had the need to come to Worcester, but I definitely hope to come back. And I got to say, the staff, when I was down there, was top notch, and I, you know, all the kudos in the world for what you guys do down there. But I do have, I guess, a question. You know, coming from somebody, I'm down about a total of about 183 pounds. I did gastric bypass surgery, and that took me a part of the way. You know, I think on average, I say you're going to lose about 50 to 60% of the excess weight that you have.
Sure.
In that surgery. And then the rest of the way, I really feel it's been hard work and exercise and make sure to follow the plans that they've given me. So it's I put some of it on the surgery, but I definitely put some of the success I have on really working hard and really trying to change my lifestyle. But I remember back. I'm trying to think back to when I was as big as I was. I was nearly 400 pounds, and one of the things that really was sort of a driving something that really held me back from getting into a gym. And I talked to a lot of people who are overweight or were overweight, and generally, I felt if I ever went into a gym atmosphere, my biggest thing was I was instantly the biggest person in that place. And it was almost like I was sort of the spectacle that's out there. You see you go into a lot of gym atmospheres and you've got, like, you know, the buff bodybuilders who were working out and you know, people who were just in incredible shape. And I think sometimes it gets lost that sometimes the people who need a facility like that the most, it's naturally sort of an uncomfortable place for them to get started, I think, because they, you know, you automatically feel like you're going to sort of stand out.
Right.
And I haven't, you know, your facility I experienced when I've been down most of my weight. So I don't feel like I, you know, not in that same position anymore. But I remember back to where I was. I'm just wondering if you can maybe comment on that and maybe some thoughts about, you know, how you could try to make the experience a more comfortable experience for somebody who needs to get started in this and really needs to be in a gym and, you know, and to try to make a comfortable experience for them, I guess.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I've had a lot of experience. I've been working out for 25 years. Like I said earlier, I was very much into athletics and sports and stuff like that. So, you know, for someone like me, I never really had a weight problem as far as what you guys are talking about. It's just amazing to me what you guys have done. That's fantastic. And if I was that big, I would hope that I would have the drive to do what you guys did. So I applaud you for that. You know, when I used to work out at the Golds and the Worlds and the Powerhouses, those companies, you'd walk in and you're right. You know, you get the muscle head guys there and, you know, the women are dressing up to the T's, you know, to the nines, and they want to look good for the guys, the big guys there. Anytime Fitness, you're just not like that. They're all basically common, local, ordinary people. I mean, you have a couple of guys here and there that are bigger guys, but, you know, for the most part, people aren't going to walk into an Anytime Fitness, at least the ones I own, and see, you know, those type of people.
Let me just say, I didn't feel that atmosphere was it at Anytime Fitness, and I'm just wondering about your thoughts in general about it.
Well, what I was getting to is, I'd say probably the biggest thing. See, when I opened a gym, and I never realized it, to be honest with you. This shows my ignorance, and, you know, one of the things I've learned since I've opened a fitness facility was probably one of the biggest comments I hear, and it was more from women than it was from men, but there are some that men that said it to me too. You know, I don't want to go into that environment. I don't want people looking at me. I'm intimidated. You know, I heard it all the time, and I was shocked because I just didn't know it. And apparently it's more prevalent than anybody knows. You know, when I started working out in the 80s, all you think about was the big guys and the guys that pump the iron and stuff. Well, now it's not like that. We know more than we did 30 years ago or 70 in the 80s, you know. Everybody's working out now. Well, not everybody. Everybody should be working out, but there's more awareness than there was, you know, back then when you think of the Arnold Schwarzenegger days, and that's what you thought of back then. You know, now it's just people trying to get in shape. The sad fact is that only 14% of Americans actually have a gym membership. So there's certainly room for more knowledge and more growth, you know, towards health and fitness, which is a good thing. But to your point, yeah, it's sad because if that's what's holding people back, it shouldn't. Because you can go out and find a facility that that doesn't, the people aren't looking at you, or you feel intimidated. And what I tell people anyway, and it's, you know, I have this kind of attitude, I guess, you know, who cares what people think of you? You know, go out and do your thing, you know?
Yeah. If I could name, I know it's a national name, it would be another, I guess, a competitor, but Curves, I think, has sort of hit that market in the sense that it's a female-only type of an environment, but, so, you know, at least taking the male-female piece out of it to an extent, and I think they've had a lot of success in that area. And I just wonder, I've never seen specifically a company geared toward, you know, toward this population, the population that, you know, some of the heaviest people in our society, to try to get them to a place that's healthier.
Yeah, that's a great question, George. I don't know why there hasn't been a gym to specifically maybe target that. You know, I heard a comment the other day. There was actually a fantastic commercial by a competitor. I won't mention their name because it's not important. But I'm sure everybody saw this commercial where there's this huge bodybuilder walking through the gym with a jug of water. I mean, huge bodybuilder. And a guy showed him around the gym, and he says, I pick things up and put things down. Ends up showing him out the door. He said, here's a stretching area, and it's the parking lot. Okay?
Yeah.
That's actually an ingenious commercial. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, yeah,
what they're saying is, we don't want those people in here. And that's fantastic. The problem is, I heard a commercial to that same company last week, and they give out free cookie rolls every day, and once a month, they have free pizza. What does that help? This is true. If you might hear it on their local radio station. So, you know, to that company, to me, it's about money. I'm not going to give free cookie rolls and free pizza because that goes against everything that I believe in. And if you're in something that you love, and it's health and fitness, for instance, you have to practice what you preach. You know, I'm not going to put Snickers bars in my vending machine. You know, I'm not going to put Tootsie Rolls on the counter. You know,
well, that's like going to the dentist, Eric, and getting a lollipop after. What's the point?
Exactly. You know, if you put that kind of stuff in front of people, I think a lot of people are going to take it. It's unfortunate.
It's true. It really is true.
But, you know, to your point, George, I mean that's, you know, it's sad. You know, and I wish there was more that people could do. Because, like I said, I thought that commercial was ingenious that they did because, you know, it shows that that's not what that company, well, supposedly that's not what their company wants to target. You know, that particular company doesn't want that type of person in there. And neither do I. It's not because I have bigger guys that aren't like that. And I'm not targeting those type of people. But I don't want other people to feel intimidated because they're not going to walk in the gym because you have all these big muscle head guys. You know, so it's not a
competition.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I get that. It is tough. And I know one of the appeals, I mean, the thing that got me going was the program right where I had my surgery. There is an exercise physiologist who works on the staff there. And Mary and I have both taken advantage of this situation that when we go to work out with her. And this is learning strategy. You know, I was going even before surgery, and Mary went after. But when we went, it was, you're talking a small group. Sometimes it would just be the two of us. Sometimes we'd have one-on-one. Sometimes it would be three or four people. I think the most we ever had there was maybe, I think the last time we went there, it was maybe about eight people. And
yeah, there's a lot more
learning,
people.
Yeah, but which is good. But, you know, that was the largest group, you know, working out at one time, and you're always, you know, and her job is basically to teach strategies on how to be able to, whatever level you're at, to get to the next level. And some people are working out before surgery or, you know, have to work out in a chair, you know, or can do very limited things because of their mobility issues. But, you know, and that's, I've never seen that. As a
Which is how I started.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I'd love to, I mean, to me, it's such a need there that's pressing, and I'm glad to see you reaching out, you know, through Steve and through this program, and I think it's, you know, it's a great thing that, you know, that you're doing that, because hopefully some other people who need this are hearing it and will respond in kind, because I really think more of that needs to happen.
Yeah,
so
I agree, and I think you're right, George. But I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say that speaking about that and like reaching out, I just wanted to kind of wrap it back up around the community thing. You know, and it does take a community of like-minded people who are striving for similar goals to try to reach out and kind of encourage or be encouraged, or people that are want to be encouraged and be motivated by people like us that are having success with our fitness. And I think it has that kind of domino effect, and then it kind of affects everyone, including like we were talking here with Anytime and Anytime Fitness and their Anytime Health website. They also have online community support there. I mean, they've got groups that you can actually join. Like they got a general discussion group, they've got a weight control group, they've got a muscular fitness group, an aerobic fitness, food and nutrition, major milestones, and even one on chronic conditions. So how to manage your diabetes, heart disease, hypertension, and other stuff, chronic diseases like I had. These kind of sites enable you to get the kind of the people that are feeling or going through the same things that you are. And Z and Kristen and I have all talked about how it really, you know, you want to get the people, like-minded people together. And even in fitness, I think sometimes when you be able to have a workout buddy or a partner to go out and work out, and we all know this because we've been doing it ourselves, we have our own little clique, but, you know, you get well in numbers, you know. It's those people that are feeling alone, that are sitting at home, that feel they can't do it, and they don't have anyone to motivate them. You know, they give up pretty easily, and they kind of get hopeless. But if you hear and see those stories of people that are started, you know, like we did, and then started having success, it gives them motivation and stuff. And again, we just wrap it back up to that fitness thing and say that. You know, not everyone can immediately go and join a gym, but when you get yourself in more healthy condition and start living that healthy lifestyle, then you should. I would highly suggest that you go and check out a great facility like Anytime, because you know they're nationwide, they're growing across the country, they're giving their competitors a run for their money, and you know we've even talked to their corporate, and they're even talking about going global and the whole thing. So. It's a great facility. Eric and Lori have a great top-notch facility in both Auburn and Worcester. And like we said, again, I want you guys to stay tuned. Next week we'll be having a webisode about the Warrior Dash, which will include Mary and George. So we'll probably have them on as a guest to talk about their experience and we're putting together their webisode this week. So stay tuned for that. And again, we want to thank Eric for coming on tonight, bro. Thank you very much. And I'll be seeing you at the gym. And I want everyone else out there to keep striving for a healthy lifestyle and keep working at it. And I'd like to leave you like I always do and tell you that, you know, we can take this health movement even further. We can start to take back America's health. You know, it starts with one of us, and then we affect others, and it just keeps building. And, you know, we got to turn it around sometime. And so remember that fitness and nutrition are two ways that we can do this. And so I'd like to thank you all and say peace and love plus health equal harmony. And you guys all have a good night. Health for yours, Steve, Sir Dropalot McCander. Have a good night.
Thank you, too, and thanks for having me.
Thank you.